Tonight, dangerous freeze below zero in 16 states. 65 million people plunge into the teeth of the polar vortex. Urgent warnings of a potentially deadly winter blast. Donald Trump threatens to sue Ted Cruz as Bernie Sanders accuses Hillary Clinton of landing a low blow. It's getting nasty. Machete horror, a vicious restaurant attack. A man suddenly starts slashing and stabbing people inside. The FBI investigating and asking, was it terrorism? Trapped by war, our team, inside Syria, as word of a deal to stop the bloodshed is met with skepticism. And Assad vows to retake the entire country. And your medical records at risk of being stolen and sold for fraud. One out of three Americans hit. How to protect your most sensitive personal information. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. True to predictions, it's getting nasty on the campaign trail in South Carolina as Donald Trump lobbed another so-called birther attack today, threatening to sue Ted Cruz for, quote, not being a natural-born citizen if Cruz doesn't, as Trump puts it, clean up his act. That battle is just one of several fronts opening up as the GOP candidates sharpen their attacks on each other. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is on the trail in Greenville, South Carolina.
Fresh off autographing a baby in Louisiana, Republican frontrunner Donald Trump is now leaving a new signature on this race, threatening to sue his closest rival, Ted Cruz, for not being a natural-born citizen. On Twitter, the billionaire calling the Texas senator a liar for running negative ads against him.
There's more than a little irony in Donald accusing anyone of being nasty, given the amazing torrent of insults and obscenities and vulgarities that come out of his mouth.
These voters have serious concerns about Trump repeating a vulgarity at a rally this week and described him this way.
Leader.
Flashy.
Alpha dog.
Rich.
Dogmatic.
Narcissistic.
Inspirational.
Cruz himself is mocking his opponents in a series of new ads, though this one against Marco Rubio backfired.
It makes me feel dumb for trusting them.
Maybe you should vote for more than just a pretty face next time.
The Cruz campaign yanking it after the revelation that actress had appeared in adult films.
We would not have cast her had we known of that history.
The Republican Party remains a party.
Rubio today firing back in an exclusive interview.
The bottom line is they were actors, and I think it's part of a bigger problem that Ted has, and that is he tries to act like the only consistent conservative in this race. It's just not true. He's a very calculated political operative.
All this is several GOP hopefuls tried to court crucial evangelical voters.
Faith is the most important influence in my life.
One night, reading the Bible, I just got a serenity.
But tonight, amid a flurry of attacks, serenity in this race is hard to find.
The Republican candidates are set to face off in another debate tomorrow. The stakes may be highest for Marco Rubio. He's expected to take some of the heaviest fire, especially from his mentor and fellow Floridian, Jeb Bush. Lester?
All right, Gabe, thank you. Attacks are flying on the Democratic side of the race, with Bernie Sanders accusing Hillary Clinton of hitting him with a, quote, low blow on the debate stage last night, and a heated battle over the different directions they take on health care in this country. Let's get more from NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee.
Trying to reboot her campaign, Hillary Clinton accused Bernie Sanders of being disloyal to President Obama, who is hugely popular with minorities in the primaries and caucuses to come.
The kind of criticism that we've heard from Senator Sanders about our president, I expect from Republicans.
Madam Secretary, that is a low blow.
And she pounced on his proposed Medicare for All, birth-to-death government health care plan.
With health care, this is not about math. This is about people's lives. The numbers don't add up. And I think once I'm in the White House, we will have enough political capital to be able to do that.
Secretary Clinton, you're not in the White House yet. And let us be clear that every proposal that I have introduced has been paid for.
Sanders would combine all government health plans into one, Medicare, Medicaid, veterans benefits, children's health insurance, and replace employer-based health care and private insurance. How to pay for it? Sanders would tax the rich. He says the middle class would pay $500 a year more in taxes, but the average family would save $5,000 a year by eliminating insurance premiums.
Who's correct here?
There are a lot of tax increases, but it's certainly not clear that they would be enough to pay for all the additional expenses.
Nonpartisan budget experts say Sanders hasn't given enough details to price the plan, nor told voters that in Canada and Great Britain, which have government health care, people often wait months for elective procedures, a form of rationing.
So there will be trade-offs, and if we want to save money, we will have to understand that your access to health care may be limited.
And then the political costs. Getting Congress to pass his health care plan was the most bruising fight of the Obama presidency. But Bernie Sanders is calling for a political revolution, a grassroots army he believes would compel Congress to accept his vision. Lester?
Andrea Mitchell, thank you. There are warnings tonight of a dangerous freeze about to plunge a huge part of the country in its grip as the dreaded polar vortex moves south. Parts of 16 states we'll see temperatures below zero and wind chills that make it feel a lot colder. Yes, it's winter, it's February, and it's supposed to be cold. But as we've come to know, cold snaps of this extreme can be deadly. And in this case, tens of millions of people are bracing for the biggest chill so far this season. NBC's Ron Mott has details.
65 million Americans bundled up against the brutal cold as the ever-present polar vortex unleashes winter's harshest bite yet.
The winds are just like knives cutting into your face.
Today, the cold brought a burst of snow as far south as Tennessee and the Carolinas, causing trouble for commuters. Commuters also stranded in New York, where cold weather likely contributed to train delays during rush hour. In Pennsylvania, a broken water pipe left this home frosted over. And in Chicago, florists are taking extra care with their Valentine's Day deliveries.
It's terrible for flowers. If they're frozen, they're gone.
Here at Fenway Park, the Red Sox are heading south to Florida for spring training, giving up their home to skiers and snowboarders who are literally jumping for joy. And further north in Maine, the Biathlon World Cup left competitors with frozen faces. Record low temperatures are possible from Minnesota to the mid-Atlantic. Buffalo's forecast for Saturday, 2 degrees. Boston's looking at 4 below Sunday morning. New York City's bracing for zero, toppling a 100-year record. So cold, in fact, that Saturday's annual Central Park Ice Festival canceled.
You should take this weather very, very seriously. We don't see these temperatures very often, and they can be life-threatening.
Here in the Boston area, the wind chills are forecast to dip down to 20 to 30 below zero over the weekend, even colder in some places, as low as 40 below zero. And obviously, at those temperatures, frostbite becomes a real concern. Doesn't take very long, as little as 10 minutes. Lester?
The FBI is investigating a vicious attack that took place inside a restaurant in Ohio. It happened when a man pulled out a machete and went on a rampage, slashing and stabbing people as customers made panic calls for help. The questions that investigators are trying to answer, why did he do it, and could it have been an act of terrorism? We get the latest from our justice correspondent, Pete Williams.
Police say a man walked into this Columbus restaurant around dinner time, asked some questions, then came back a short time later with a machete.
But some guy pulled out a machete and started stabbing people. I ran out with my kids.
There are several people injured here.
Some of those inside threw chairs to fight back. He ran out, drove away, and was stopped after a 5-mile chase. Police say he was shot and killed when he lunged, holding a knife at one of them. The FBI immediately began searching the home of the man identified as the attacker, 30-year-old Muhammad Bari. Law enforcement officials say radical comments by him 4 years ago brought a brief look from the FBI, which then moved on. Restaurant employees say when Bari first came in, he asked where the owner is from. The owner, Hani Baranzi, is from Israel, a Christian Arab. Investigators are looking at whether Bari may have mistakenly thought he was Jewish.
I've been crying like, I'm a 50-year-old man, I've been crying like a baby for the last 12 hours.
Four people were hurt in the machete attack. The most seriously, Bill Foley, who sings at the restaurant, now in critical but stable condition.
We are very grateful that our victims that sustained wounds last night are all expected to recover.
Investigators say they don't know why Bari attacked now and chose that target. No known connections yet with ISIS.
It may be, one law enforcement official says tonight, a blend of factors, a long simmering interest in radicalism, and all the attention given to terror attacks worldwide. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
Within a week, a temporary ceasefire in Syria, brokered with the help of the U.S., is scheduled to take effect. But key parties have been left out of the agreement, announced last night. Our Keir Simmons now with a rare look inside Syria, where there is much skepticism over whether the deal will end the bloodshed.
A little boy is pulled from rubble after an airstrike. The video, said to be in Aleppo province, was posted on Facebook last week. Tonight, there is little sign those airstrikes will end, even with world leaders, including America and Russia, agreeing to a cessation of hostilities within 1 week, and humanitarian aid to communities under siege, suffering starvation.
And what we have here are words on paper. What we need to see in the next few days are actions on the ground in the field.
The major players in the fight, including Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and the rebels fighting him, are not part of the deal. Neither is ISIS. And today, Assad is vowing to retake the whole country.
President Assad is very visibly in control of the capital, Damascus, while outside the city, his forces are clearly on the offensive.
The Syrian army advancing, backed by Russian airstrikes.
They have gained momentum, the upper hand. Why would they stop now?
While in Damascus, few believe the fighting will stop.
Do you believe there will be peace now?
I don't think so. I think nobody knows when the peace is gone.
6-year-old Aya's legs were broken in an air raid while she was out buying cookies. She's one of tens of thousands who have fled, those still here, losing hope. Keir Simmons, NBC News, Damascus.
A major announcement today from three federal agencies about a possible danger that NBC News first reported on nearly a year and a half ago. The government will investigate the potential health risks from a type of turf that children play on all across the nation. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has more.
These soccer players, all goalies, all diagnosed with cancer, sparked a battle over the use of crumb rubber. Ground up car and truck tires in tens of thousands of turf fields around the country. Today, three federal agencies, including the EPA, announced a new research plan to analyze the safety of crumb rubber. The existing studies do not comprehensively evaluate the concerns. NBC News first reported on crumb rubber in October 2014.
This is the stuff everybody's talking about.
Women's soccer coach Amy Griffin started asking questions after two of her goalies developed cancer. A conversation with Austin Everett, who would later die of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, haunted her.
She said, I just have a feeling that it has something to do with those black dots.
The coach started a list of goalies with cancer, which grew from just a handful to now 75, following NBC's reports. There is no research linking crumb rubber exposure to cancer, and the industry points to dozens of studies as proof that their fields are safe. But the federal government today says more research is needed. The three agencies will analyze chemical compounds in the crumb rubber, measure exposure to those chemicals, and reach out to concerned parents, scientists, and industry leaders. Parents like the dams who fought the use of crumb rubber hope that communities will hold off on installing new fields.
Why not pause, use alternatives until this thing gets figured out? Because our children are certainly worth it.
Today, industry leaders say they welcome the new research. In their words, they hope the federal government can settle this matter once and for all. Lester.
All right, Stephanie, thank you. Still ahead tonight, thieves after your medical records, why you could be at risk without even knowing it, and what experts say you should never share with your doctor's office in order to protect your identity. Also, the cost of college could be out of reach for many in this kindergarten class by the time they're old enough, but a generous gift is making their futures a lot brighter. And now a warning about your most personal information at risk. Medical records being hacked, stolen, and sold for fraud, up 11,000% last year. Roughly one out of every three Americans has been hit, whether they know it or not, giving criminals a wealth of information that, unlike compromised credit card numbers, can last forever. NBC's Tom Costello has what you can do to protect yourself.
For John Kuhn, it was a simple x-ray after a snowboarding accident that turned into an accounting nightmare. When the hospital billed him $20,000 for surgery he never had.
I had to go down
in front of the billing department, no less, and pull up my shirt and show them that I did not have any major scarring on my stomach at all.
It turns out the hospital's hard drive had been stolen along with John's medical records, just one of 100 million healthcare records stolen last year alone. Many of those records show up for sale on the dark web, where hackers openly advertise themselves and what they've stolen. This site offers fresh healthcare profiles stolen last April in California, boasting you can use those profiles for normal fraud stuff or to get a brand new healthcare plan for yourself.
This looks very user-friendly, and this is designed for crooks.
This is where information from big data breaches ends up as a commodity being sold.
Stolen credit cards go for $1 to $3 each, Social Security numbers $15. But complete healthcare records are a gold mine, going for $60, because criminals can use them to order prescriptions, pay for treatments and surgery, even file false tax returns.
You basically own a person. You have all the information. You can actually create a new account. You can fake his whole identity.
To avoid getting hacked, IBM security pros advise following good password practices. Don't use the same email account for banking and shopping. Use PIN codes for your IRS returns. And importantly, avoid giving out your Social Security number, even the last four digits, to hospitals and doctor's offices.
You really need to push back on those situations and say, look, can I give you a PIN or some piece of information that I can change on a regular basis?
If your health records are compromised, your financial life can be too. Tom Costello, NBC News, New York.
When we come back, surf's up, way up. 50-foot waves supercharged by El Nino are making one of the world's most intense competitions even more dangerous. It's one of the most dangerous surfing events in the world, the Titans of Mavericks competition in Northern California, featuring 24 of the world's most elite surfers. And this year, the giant waves are extra powerful, fueled by El Nino. Our Morgan Radford takes us there.
50-foot waves barreling in at 40 miles per hour.
Incredible stuff here.
Just 15 seconds apart.
You can see how steep and intense these drops are.
Titans of Mavericks is called the most dangerous surf competition in the world. And these are the all-stars.
The guys that are in this event, they were born to be big wave surfers.
Wow, Carlos just charging.
Why do you do this? You risk your lives every time you come out here.
Because you just risked death, got as close to it as you could, but escaped it because of your, I don't know why, but just luck.
Lots of luck. Because what makes Mavericks different are the rocky reefs under the water. They cause the waves to pick up massive speed, height, and force. In fact, the waves crash so hard half a mile offshore that scientists say they register like an earthquake.
So powerful right now.
Made even more intense by El Nino.
Even though it's not raining and the sun is shining, these Maverick surfers are still feeling the effects of El Nino, which causes supercharged waves in waters that are already deadly.
Competitors only get 72 hours notice based on when forecasters say the swell, tide, and wind are all perfect.
How big are these waves? Awesome,
like a four-story building, basically coming right at you.
Look at all that white water.
Because it's a lifelong, like, journey to get that wave.
It gives you chicken skin just talking about it because it's, like, so awesome.
Awesome, or as they say here, gnarly.
Wow.
Morgan Radford, NBC News, Half Moon Bay, California.
When we come back, why this whole kindergarten class is already college-bound in a place where higher education is far from guaranteed. Finally, tonight, a golden opportunity for an entire class of 26 kindergartners. They're all from low-income families, and saving for a college education is a struggle. But as our Miguel Almaguer reports, those worries about the future are now over, thanks to a $1 million gift from a man making a difference.
Today is College Friday inside Mrs. Ashton's kindergarten class.
That's where Christiane is going to go to college.
Most of her 26 students come from low-income, single-parent homes, where the price of lunch, much less college, is out of reach, but not anymore.
You're going to be a teacher?
Marty Burbank wants to pay for every student here to go to college.
I'm going to put off retirement a few years.
A lawyer who met his wife on a boat and got married on a yacht was ready to buy his dream cruiser
times 12,
when he realized there was a better way to spend his money.
Our pastor gave a sermon about charity and giving and sacrifice, and at that point I really felt like I could invest in this boat or I could invest in 26 kids and hopefully make a difference in their lives.
The gift and the offer is life-changing. Their future literally is different because of this.
Isabella Celadon couldn't believe the generosity.
Oh, my gosh.
The seamstress says her son Jason can now be anything he wants.
Doctor.
Every year, these kids will need to draw a picture or write a letter about college to Marty Burbank, who's investing over $1 million in their future.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to do this because it brings me so much joy helping kids.
One couple giving up so much, but getting back in return a gift that's priceless. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Anaheim, California.
And that's going to do it on this Friday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching. Have a great weekend and good night.